Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by regular guest and my good friend, Kenny Jane. Kenny, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, have I been upgraded to the title of regular guest?
Yes, you are the first official regular guest, titled regular guest on the podcast. I want to apologize in advance to those that are listening. My audio is likely not as good on this podcast. I just recorded one recently with my former dead to me, old co-host Jay Cranda, and my audio is terrible. I was embarrassed, but I wanted to get the podcast out. I also had a little window of time with Kenny where we were talking on the phone. We're like, let's just record a podcast today. I'm out and about, so I don't have my microphone, but I wanted to get a conversation because I think we have some really interesting things to talk about. Kenny, you and I just went on a field trip together here in New York City to VR World, which is the largest virtual reality experience in North America, as I understand it. Kenny, what, tell everyone about VR World and what you experienced.
Yeah, VR World is amazing, right? It's basically, first of all, it's in the heart of the Big Apple, right in the center of Midtown, New York City. So that's the right place to host the largest installments of virtual reality experiences. You walk in and then immediately it's multiple floors. I think it's three floors, Nils. Of 50 different installments, over 50 different installments that you can actually go in and experience. So it's kind of like a an arcade, but think of each game having its own living room, right? That's basically what it looks like. So it was quite the experience to walk in there. And quite frankly, Nils, it really shifted my thinking on virtual reality and augmented reality of just how quickly it is going to be injected into our culture.
Yeah. So, and I'll talk a little bit about some of the experiences I had there, and I'd love to hear about some of yours and what that actually means. I remember I played a game where I was shooting bows and arrows at people, and literally you're in it, and you're like, I'm shooting bows and arrows at people, and I'm looking around all directions. And then there was another where I was like bagging groceries for somebody and picking things up and moving things around and running a little 7-Eleven grocery store. And then another where I was just watching, I literally watched a music video, like I was sitting in the backseat of a convertible in a rap music video. It was fascinating. And I will say, too, where VR has gotten better for me is I did some experiences that were longer, and in the past I would get nauseous when I would do VR. As the quality is improving, that nausea factor got a lot better, too, from experience. But so many different functions of VR. Kenny, I'm curious what you experienced and what can you translate a little bit about what you mean by it's going to happen faster than you think.
Yeah, I think the V should be renamed Velocity. I mean, I honestly think our culture is, I mean, you're just going to see Americans on their couch potato is going to be capital C, capital P. I mean, people are just going to be sitting at home with their VR goggles and not just leave their house at all. Travel is not going to, you're not going to need to travel anymore. So for me, in terms of experience, the common denominator was that it was just so immersive. It wasn't like going to the movies and getting 3D glasses and trying to watch a 3D movie where you understand that you're still watching a movie with these funky glasses, right? Here, you actually put on these goggles as completely 360 immersive. And it's not just you're looking at a forward screen. As you move around 360, up, down, you're sitting in a world. So because the goggles are made in a way, and some games are better than others, I guess there are different manufacturers of glasses, but it was completely immersive. So you really had, within the first 15, 20 seconds, once you get into any of these worlds, you had no clue that you were in, this VR, you know, in the arcade, in the actual establishment.
Yeah. It's amazing. It really, I remember the first time I did virtual reality, it caught my attention. But now it's one of those things of, man, I cannot wait to watch a 30-minute TV show. I can't wait to go to church in virtual reality and literally sit in an hour and a half experience in VR and have a worship experience. I can't wait to do a virtual reality quiet time where I'm able to like transport myself to the Holy Land or watch a clip from the Jesus film. Or just, you know, sit and watch reflective, you know, Bible verses over, you know, a lake background, you know, whatever it might be. I think that there are limitless possibilities around this technology. And I think you're right. It's going to happen fast, and it's already happening fast.
So there's two sides of this technology that I'm interested in seeing how they develop. And I think they're on parallel tracks. They're actually disconnected, but they're running parallel. One is the actual consumption of it, right? So the fact that you're immersion and you're able to look up and down, control, and then there were different types of hand joysticks and grips and triggers and stuff like that. That's one. On the other side, I think it's the actual interaction with other people. So it's not just a solo experience, right? So like you said, I think the greatest thing that's going to leapfrog in terms of technology is being able to go to church and then seeing other people next to you. And it's like the movie theater. So I think any large, you know, one-to-many type of events. So I think that second track is like my kids' Xbox One or whatever. The graphics have become so real, right? And it needs to go a little further, another couple of generations. But there's going to be a point where when I'm turning around in the virtual world and I'm not looking at a pixelated, cartoonish Neil Smith, I'm going to be looking at you just like I'm looking at you at the screen here, right? But it's going to be 3D.
Yeah, it's thrilling. I think where this is going. Let's talk practically about churches. Where do you see this going for churches? Where should churches be thinking about this technology? And what steps should they take to move in that direction?
Yes. First of all, you've got for the cutting edge churches, the risk takers. I think you're looking at even Life Church's Church Online solution, which they're now starting to adopt virtual reality into that platform. So if you really are bleeding edge, I would actually try to experience that and see what that's like. But for churches that are looking forward-looking and trying to see the next step, I would say you need to start thinking about video, about context of how you're preaching, how you're presenting content and teaching, and the environment in which you are starting to record your videos and upping your game in terms of video, right? So Facebook said that within the next 3-4 years, 95% of all content on Facebook is going to be video, right? And we're seeing that happen over, as time marches on. So being comfortable becoming native with video, I think, is the number one thing that churches can do to get prepared for this type of technology.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Native with video. I've got a little 360 video camera. When I was at Facebook's F8 event, they gave everybody a 360 video camera because they said, we need more 360 video content because this is people are hungry for it. People see it. Two days ago, when I was walking to lunch here in the city, I just turned my VR, turned it on and walked down the street for a minute. And I had something like 400 or 500 video views of that little 360 video and got a lot of comments from people of just like, hey, it was so cool. I got to just look at you. I got to look at the city.
Niels, how hard was that experience? You put the camera onto your phone as an adapter and then it just broadcasts live natively. Is there much setup?
No, that's it. It just plugs right into the little jack of my iPhone. I recorded it separately. I just had the camera in my pocket. And I just thought, hey, I'll turn this on right now. I recorded the video and then I hooked it into my phone. I could actually do Facebook Live through my phone with this device. I think it's $150, the Insta360 camera. There's several of them now.
Yeah, they're all out there. 200 or sub 200. There's a bunch of them at this point.
Yeah, the quality isn't great, but I would say what I would compare it to is when the flip cam, you remember the flip cam? When those are so popular, but that's what made video so easy for YouTube. It was like, go get a flip cam. You plug that into your USB jack and you can get video up instantly to YouTube or social media. And then the iPhone changed everything. But I think we're seeing the same thing with these little clip-on 360 cameras. Is it's now so easy. You don't have to have this like 16 camera GoPro rig to do 360 video. You can just have this little clip-on to your iPhone and you're doing 360. Now the quality is not tremendous. But it's something, and I think what you see is it's really interesting for people. And I think where it's going to get really interesting is right now, not many people use the VR goggles. Right now, people are seeing it on their mobile device. They're looking in all directions. Right. When you experience that with the VR goggles on, it's a whole nother experience. So I got to do that. I did a 360 video of my daughter getting baptized fun to see on mobile, but then even cooler to see, because I can do with YouTube, in the actual virtual reality, putting the goggles on, it's like you're there. But that also requires quality increase to really experience that immersive environment. But it's such a cool technology, and I can't wait to see where it goes and how quickly it develops.
Yeah, I wonder, what industries do you think are going to take hold of this 360 early on, right? So real estate, obviously, I think is one of those, you know, industries that can take this on really well.
Yeah. I mean, the leaders in the space right now are the porn industry and the gaming industry.
Yeah.
And I think it makes sense and it's normal. And I think that's where I get so passionate about it, is like, why does the church always have to be behind the porn industry? The porn industry was the first one on the internet. They're the first ones building websites. They're the first ones to really span out social media. And they saw the opportunity and they put a lot of money behind it to really take over that platform. And I think just as that immersive experience makes sense, translates to their industry, I think it translates tremendously to gospel movements, the church, the ministries, anybody who wants to engage people. And what it does is it's not a passive engagement experience like a podcast is. This is a fully immersive. You're not going to do anything else while you're doing this. So if you want to capture somebody in a way that they're going to be all in for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, 360 video is a great way, or virtual reality is a great way to really engage them. And then, Kenny, and this is what, you know, Facebook is so big on, is virtual reality is just the first step. Augmented reality is the bigger play in all of this. I think augmented reality is almost one of those things that it's still, you know, Pokemon Go kind of introduced it, you know, in a significant way, but it's still one of the things that it's like, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around just how big this whole thing is.
Yeah, I'm right. Aren't you surprised that Pokemon Go still doesn't have any other breakout augmented reality case studies that, you know, that made it, you know, that's the only big mass culture success story. Personally, for the church, I think any place that you're doing outreach, missions work, there's no missions trip that should go without a 360 camera. Storytelling from that perspective, just connect it, right? We do in donor development. The whole point of donor development is putting the donor as close as possible to the point of transformation. That's when you have magic happen. And these immersive experiences of storytelling, I think, is one of the biggest boons that we're going to see for nonprofit and church fundraising.
Yeah, I agree. So my encouragement to church leaders, go get a 360 camera. Go spend $200. Even if you're a small church, you don't have a big budget, go get a 360 camera. You know what? Catch a little clips of your worship service. Take it on a mission trip. Take it to camp. Just catch, you know, maybe do a little virtual tour of the office. But have some fun with it. Take some people behind the scenes. But do one 360 video a week on your Facebook page and see how people engage with it and connect with it. And I think you're going to get more ideas on how to use it. I've been pushing this technology for a little over a year now, or maybe longer, with TVApp.Church, the company that Jay and I do together. We are playing with virtual reality. We will have, and I'll just say it, in the next year, we will have VR apps available for churches to create their own native VR experiences. But for those to have any kind of relevance, churches need to be creating VR content, 360 video, to start heading down this path. And so we're working to build the technology that's going to help distribute this content. But churches need to be utilizing and starting to create the content. And right now, Facebook and YouTube are the optimal platforms to distribute that content at this point. Kenny, there's another new big development that I think people don't even know about or aren't paying attention to. And you, I noticed it this weekend and started playing with it. And then you pinged me and I'm like, Kenny, we think so much alike. We see a lot of the same trends. But Amazon Amazon now has a social network. And it's surprising to me how many people don't even know about it. What caught your attention, and what do you know about Amazon's new social network?
In a really smart way. So they're building a network around their products. So anything that's available on Amazon, you can talk about, you can recommend. You can discover. This is something that I think is going to have huge implications on how other businesses start to see the social network, right? We've always seen from a marketer's perspective, the notion that social media is the number one way to get word of mouth and to propel people to buy your products. And this is just another example of taking that one step further in a very, very smart way. Prime Day, the Prime community, you have to be a Prime member to be able to get on the network, first of all, right? So this Prime community, the sense of belonging that Amazon has quietly built over the years is genius, and they're taking advantage of it. I think churches in particular have an opportunity, and this is my call right now. I'm going to say it now. You need to get on there and start using this network, because it's going to be able to drive people to your content, to your church, to your experience, and really bring recognition of awareness of your ministry in your community.
So, yeah, that, Kenny, I think it's a great idea. I'm really interested in it. I just hopped on this weekend, and I did a little test post. I just bought a new TV on Prime Day. So I posted that TV and said why I love it. It ran, you know, to anybody who wanted to see it. I see I had 355 views of that post, just randomly, you know, of people out there. You know, I can see, you know, if I'm getting very practical in this, of a pastor jumping on and then sharing their favorite books.
Yes.
You know, I love this book. I love this resource, or, you know, and just, you know, I think, and I had two new people start following me from that one post. Well, if I start doing that every day, you know, and become an early adopter, who knows who I might engage and connect with and build a relationship with. And just as you shared, by being an early adopter, you can really build traction in the social network. We don't know where this could go. This could be the next Google Plus. But if Amazon's behind it, I think it's probably going to be more. It's not going to be a traditional social network. Like, it's not going to take over Facebook, but it's going to have, it's going to be interesting. And I think it's significant. And I mean, it's worth paying attention to. And I think it's worth dipping your toe into. I'd say jump on and post once a week and just see what happens, and start following other people's posts and see how they're using it. But pay attention to the social network. Any other thoughts around Amazon's network, Kenny?
Yeah, I think this is, two things. One is, I've always said that the local church website lost the opportunity to become the next Yelp of their community, right? The church used to be the center of the public square of any community, and it was the resource, it was the go-to place, and we've just given that up, just voluntarily. And your church should be having content of every single restaurant. Why not do reviews of every restaurant, or put every takeout menu on your website? Why not do all the cultural stuff? Why not list everything that your kids can do over the summers? Your church needs to be that cultural center for life in your community. So this is what I've said always. Publish stuff. Publish reports, publish books, and this is perfect now. Publish Kindle singles on that type of content, and then use that to drive traffic to not to that book and report, but then also to your website, and become recognized in your community. People are going to search local, and you can easily own local searches on this network through a variety of strategies.
So if I'm hearing you right, Kenny, I'm going to get very practical here.
Yeah.
What you would suggest is a pastor take their sermon, or a church member take the pastor's sermon, maybe to get the audio recording, get it transcribed, get it converted to an ebook format in the Kindle version, make it available for free, promote that in Amazon's new social network, build traction, and then out of that ebook, as people read that, it's then pointing them to the church website to engage in sermons and media and whatever else.
That's the lowest hanging fruit. That's the number one thing. Sermon to book is what you should be doing it's very easy. It costs $0 to put a Kindle book up on Amazon. Nils, I don't know if you know, but you and I, within the next hour, we can create a Word document. We can create a Google Doc together, collaborate, build some document, and download it, upload it to Amazon, and it can be up on Amazon being sold live before lunchtime. It's very easy to do these days. Now, if you want to get fancy, you can get conversions and image and all this stuff, but people are reading Kindle books on devices that are really, they're looking for the text only. They're not looking for anything fancy schmancy. So sermons, transcribe them, clean them up, put them up on Kindle. That's the number one place. And then put, you know, author bio, put the church's description and a call to action and links. In Kindle books, you can put live links on the web into your Kindle books. Bake them into the actual text.
Wow. I love it. I love it. That, Kenny, you make it sound easier than it is. I think sometimes I go down technology paths, though, and I realize, like, after I do it, it sounded real complicated. And then when I did it, it was like, why haven't I been doing this before? And that's about 90% of the time it's something Kenny told me to do like a year ago, and then I didn't do it. And now I'm like, why did I not do this a year ago? It's so easy. Look, Kenny, go ahead.
I mean, if you want something simpler, create a one-page PDF, a one-page document that literally just links out to every pizza joint in your city, right? Everybody who's listening here has a bunch of pizza joints in their town. Just list every single pizza joint, every single address, every single link, and then write a simple one-two-line review of every single one. So call out one feature. This is easy to get to. This is great parking. They have Sicilian pizza here. Just a one, and then all you do is you upload that as a resource, as a guide to every single pizza restaurant in your city or in your county. Include the state in the title somewhere, and upload it, and have a bio page, have a, you know, brought to you by this church, a resource for our local. Admit, we love our city. You want to celebrate your city. Make it a one-page document, upload it as a Kindle document. I challenge you. In fact, you know what, Nils, you and I should make it a project this week to put something up on Kindle, you and I, just a 1, 2, 3-page document to show our audience just how easy it is to get it done. I'll challenge you, Nils. Are you up for the challenge?
I am up for the challenge of you creating that document and distributing it and showing us how we do this. Kenny, I've got an even better idea. I think this is a great project for Church Butler to do for churches, as you are serving churches in such an effective way. What a great new offering for Church Butler to integrate in. Kenny, let's talk a little bit about Church Butler. Could you update our audience about what you have created in Church Butler? I think you were just getting started probably last time you were on the podcast, but what is Church Butler and what are you doing around that?
Right. So Church Butler is a done-for-you service for church leaders and communicators out there. We're trying to make it easier for you to go out there, use the digital tools and engage. So we have a monthly subscription that gives you social graphics for every single day of the month. We've got text that you can copy and paste and use it as status updates. So that's one portion. Another portion is training for you and your staff members or key volunteers. Third one is live office hours every single month that you can actually ask questions for your specific social media needs for your church. So that's one. Next is we're starting to put out products that are, again, in the done-for-you area. So the first one that we're coming out of the shoot that's ready right now, it's called the Repeat Visitor Machine. We have assembled one whole year's worth of follow-up emails to nurture the first-time visitor. We want to change the notion of, look, you want to get the first-time visitor there, but then you do nothing with them. So we want to turn the first-time visitor into repeat attenders, right? And so in order to do that, you need to have a conversation. So get that connection card, that first visit, capture their email somehow, and then you put them into this lead nurturing email sequence. We've written it all out, fill in the blank style. You just need to sit in and sit down and contextualize it a little bit. And then we'll actually even just program it into your email service. If you've got MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, Infusionsoft, we'll actually program it for you so it's up and running. So that's the type of thing. And the last one I'm excited to now announce is we're launching in September, it looks like, social media devotionals for every single day of the month. So if you're a pastor that has a Facebook group for your church or your own Instagram feed or your Twitter feed or just your Facebook page, we have beautiful, stunning images with some text from a Bible verse, an actual Bible verse that's picked out, and then a short paragraph that's a devotional so that you can encourage your own people to walk in the Word with you daily. And it's all done for you. So that's the type of stuff that social Church Butler is about. We're trying to make it easy for you to actually get on social, and then you do what's most valuable for you. You engage. You actually be the personality. You're the one who actually does the commenting back and forth. You should not be spending your time making graphics and scheduling things and all that kind of stuff. Let Church Butler handle it for you. So that's the notion behind Church Butler.
I love it. I love it. And social media can feel like so much work. In the reality, just to be done well, it requires a lot of work. But when you can take a relationship like this with Church Butler, take off a lot of that labor-intensive content development, then focus in on the informative posts that are native to your church and your priority becomes engaging around the content and building the relationships, because you can never outsource that.
Yeah.
You that's the stuff that your church has to do. You as a leader have to do, or you have to, you know, recruit volunteers to do. Don't outsource that, but in content development and, you know, consistent posts, these are great opportunities to then augment what you're doing.
Look, not everyone works at a big church like you did, or Jay sitting at Saddleback and have $1 million of budget and teams of thousands of people just at their beck and call, right? 55% of churches are 100 or less attendees. That means it's a solo pastor, maybe an assistant pastor. I know that these pastors are busy. They don't need another thing added to their plate. And that's where the service came from, because our heart is to serve as many churches as possible, because you, quite frankly, it's intimidating. And you just don't have time for all that nitty-gritty stuff. So get rid of all that stuff off your plate and then spend your time where it's most valuable, engaging and inviting more people to your church.
All right, so where can people find out? Well, two questions. Where can people find out more about Church Butler? And one, and two, how much does it cost? If you want to know how much is so, this, it sounds expensive.
The website is butler.church, www.butler.church. That's the place you can find. And monthly subscription is $20 a month. $20 a month gives you all the social graphics and content for the month. It includes the training, includes the office hours. It includes all that. And we actually have, you know, intermittent PDF reports. We just published a how to go live on Facebook Live report. We just published another one inside the membership. How to create a Snapchat custom geo filter. That's another report. Maybe we'll put up a how to do a Kindle book on your sermon. Maybe we'll build another ebook like that. So those are the types of resources you'll get inside. And then there's also a private Facebook group that's very active, about 500, 600 people right now, that if you ask any questions, we'll go ahead and answer them. Like a pastor just answered, he's doing sermon series for the first time. He's never done sermon series before. How do you promote it? How do you get non-attendees to actually know about it? And so we listed 10 different steps and that he's actually walking through inside that Facebook group, and there's other members coming and chiming and trying to help and give him some advice on that. So that's the community that you get with the Church Fathers. $20 a month. I invite everybody to check it out or contact me. So the way to contact me is best on Twitter, Kenny Jang, or you can on my website, kennyjang.com.
That's great. And we do not sponsor Church Butler here, but we love Church Butler. We love Kenny. So if you are a listener here, literally go check it out. It's $20 and you can cancel at any time.
Yeah.
And so it's just jump in. It's $20. And if you don't like it, you don't cancel, but I think you'll find it well worth it. Let them know that you listen to Social Media Church and that's where you found out about it. I would love to hear back from Kenny about how many listeners, jumped on, because I think this is a no brainer for churches. So when you subscribe, we don't get a cutback. We're not sponsored. Kenny's my friend, and I want people to have access to the service. I think and I've told Kenny this as a friend. I think it's too ridiculously cheap, and I think people don't value it because it is so cheap. But it's legitimately this good. It is ridiculously cheap. So I say on Prime Day that I stuck it to Bezos because I bought so many things for so cheap on Prime Day. I say we stick it to Kenny and everybody sign up for the service because it's so ridiculously cheap and valuable for what you get for the money. So go sign up. It's a no-brainer. Thanks, Kenny, for what you do. Thanks for taking the time. Any final thoughts that you want to share with our church leaders before you go?
Yeah, I think one of the greatest things is the community that you have started to form around this Social Media Church podcast. And I would just encourage people, look, it's the 90-10 rule that 90 people are lurkers and it's only 10% of the people that are actually active and being social. And I would challenge you, if you are in that passive mode right now, just listening in, it's great that you're learning. It's great that you're soaking up. But I'm telling you, there's a incremental gain that's 10x, 20x more if you engage. So I encourage you to reach out to Nils, tweet him, get on social media, get into these conversations that we're having, because that's where we're going to learn, grow, hold each other accountable, but really propel each other to sharpen the tip of our swords in our vocation as church communicators. So that's the number one thing. Just get out there and start. Just do it. Start small, but start the conversation so that we get to know each other.
That's great. I love it. I love it. And so if you're listening to this conversation, tweet us on Twitter. Use the hashtag SMC Podcast. If you would, do me a favor and do us a favor and go leave a review on iTunes. We would love to hear your thoughts on this podcast. And we appreciate you being part of this community and listening to this podcast. We will talk to you next week.